Today's guest is a first-generation graduate of the University of Missouri Columbia Class of 2018. He has done freelance work for the Drew Lead, Carolina Panthers, and the College Football Playoffs. He was a graphic designer intern for the University of Missouri Columbia Athletics for 2 years until he started his current job with the Orlando Magic as a digital content designer starting in June of 2019. Enough from me. Let's get a proper introduction from our guest.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to everyone around the entire country who's listening to this. My name is Tony. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I am a digital content designer for the Orlando Magic.
I know you wrapped up, like you were posting on Twitter, you just wrapped up your first season of working with the Orlando Magic. I guess explain to everybody what exactly it is you do as a graphic designer, you know, and then reflect back on the first year of working with Orlando Magic.
For sure, man. And I'll definitely talk more about what people don't see on social media. A lot of the things that I do is behind the scenes is really working on marketing collateral and coming up with different graphic solutions that we have so we can have for different marketing ads. And like, I know during the times when the season was coming back, I did a lot of like various things, like make ads for like prizes and promos that we were doing through a Magic Vision app, which is what we have for fans to interact with us. A lot of little various things. And I remember one Friday, just like cranking out a whole bunch of different things, man. It's like, we have our system that we use is WorkZone. And for those that are not familiar with WorkZone, it's basically just like a project management system that we have. And it was just like cranking out a whole bunch of things, getting approvals, hearing back for approvals, submitting those for final, all went in one day because the playoffs were going to start the week afterwards and whatnot. But it was a wild journey, man. A lot of people see the grind and like we talk about it as much as you can. But the behind the scenes process is like, you got to stick to the style guide. You got to hear your boss's like criticism for what they have to how you can improve your marketing solutions and whatnot. Not specifically trying to like call out anyone or like niche on different certain particular comments, but it's always like, you know, the memes like, well, you gotta make this logo bigger, you gotta make this logo smaller, you gotta put more text here, can we put more text into a little small file. And it's like, it's all that little stuff that adds up to it, man. And but yeah, that's mostly been it. Reflecting on my first season, I say I learned a lot. I remember just doing a podcast and hyping myself up and I was this big dog, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was coming out of college. I'm coming out fresh out of college, and now I work for an NBA team, man. And like a year ago, I was like, yeah, I know. I don't know what I'm getting into, but you know, I guess we find out, right? Turns out finding out was stressful as heck, not gonna lie, but it was fun, man, when I reflect back on it. And shout out to my mentor and the friends that I built within the Magic, specifically Eli, if he's listening to this. But yeah, everyone's been very helpful in developing for my growth professionally and just learning how a business is run as a corporate, right? And there's a lot of decisions that go on to, and even the politics play into it, like about who makes decisions, who doesn't. So for me specifically, being young and being fresh out of college, I was able to provide a younger perspective. And I think that's really where I started to learn my value, right? And for me, I really enjoyed memes. I'm always on social, so I know what people like to laugh at, like to see. So it's all about making content relate to doing what I love doing, which is, you know, making memes and making graphics. So how did I put those two worlds together? And as time goes on, man, I was able to get trust from the people I work with. And I always will mention this story because it's so significant to my first lesson. It's like I said, I thought I was this big dog, you know. So and then the draft came around, and I always mentioned the story about how I put the wrong draft player in it. And I remember going through that process, and I was like, oh man, I'm going to get fired, this, and this. But what stuck with me and what made me think about it for the long term was like, as much as like it was a mistake, they knew it was like a growing lesson, right? Mm-hmm. They were patient with me, and they were like, they're understanding, and like, those kind of things happen because simply, hey, we're humans, and B, I was just starting off. So like, it was great to see that they believed in my potential and my growth in the long term rather than kind of like holding me against what I do short term. So I think that's what I really appreciated, because I had, when I was at Mizzou, we always had this family culture and this blue collar culture. And that's from my boss, Ali Fisher. But yeah, we were, and then when that was able to be carried on to the Orlando Magic, and how our principals are ran as community and as a team and organization, it just really reflected off a really positive way for me. And that was nice to see be carried on throughout the season, right? And specifically dealing with the pandemic, it was hard because, like, my first season, I never expected, or anyone in general would say, like, I would never expect my season to be ended or paused for a second and then not know what to do. So, like, you're running with your head cut off, like, trying to figure out how to fill in content to see if the season were to come back. So we were operating, when the season was suspended, we were operating as if it was the off season. Mm-hmm. But now that's officially the off season, it's like, do we go back to what we were doing, right? And I know for me personally, like, not to say, like, in the way where it's like it feels repetitive, but, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we can only do so much with our team being 30 years in history. We got Penny and Shaq, and we got Hito, Rashad, Dwight during those Magic days. But then now we have a young team to grow around, but there's not much to highlight yet, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I say it's very hard sometimes, because what I learned was that I can't spend so much time into one specific graphic, because context and the concept around it and what the audience is able to understand, right, was what really changed me. So it's like, okay, people really care more about if Vince Carter or Tracy McGrady was on the graphic rather than opposed to, you know, a quote graphic that I made talking about one of our players. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, when I started to realize that, I understood that our audience grew from a wide range of people. And it's mostly fans back when, you know, everyone jumped on the Magic bandwagon back in like 09 and 010, like 2010, stuff like that. But then ever since then, man, it's been on the downhill. Like, last year when I just got hired, that's when it's the first year we made the playoffs. And everyone was scrambling, and we're still trying to, like, scramble and try to figure out, like, a solid, like, routine. But, you know, it's never the same, but the grind is always consistent, what it seems like. But, yeah, I mean, it's stressful. But I would say, like, when I reflect back, when I was putting together those graphics that for everyone that could see it and not know what goes on behind the scene, it was rewarding me to see, because I'm like, okay, I see how much progress I've made since the season suspended all the way till now.
I mean, you're definitely spot on with that, just because I don't think anybody knew this was coming. Nobody could predict this. No one saw the shutdown of sports happening. So it's kind of interesting. Do you remember that moment, or do you remember, like, where you were when you found out, like, the NBA was shutting down, when you found out kind of the pandemic was leading to all these sports shutting down? Do you remember that moment? And then also, to add to that question, were you always working from home, or when the pandemic happened, did you move to working remotely, and how did you kind of adjust to that?
Oh yeah, man. So I think it was February, right, when mm-hmm. it hit. So I remember one of my friend Nico's, I picked him up from because he works for the Bulls, and he used to live in Florida. And but anyway, getting back to the point where it was like, I don't know, it's just so funny to mention this story to me, because I just think it's more of like, where were you in the exact moment where it happened, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And I remember picking up Nico from the Bulls, where they were staying at. Rick Carlson is so nice, man. I'm like, you know, see all these Mercedes and all these big trucks and stuff like this. It's sweet. But anyway, we went to go eat at a restaurant, man, and, like, the Bulls were going to play the Magic the next day. And then we're looking on Twitter, and we see Woj, like, you know, it's like season is suspended. We're like, oh, you know, what's mm-hmm. going on, this and this. It was wild, man, but I was just so sad, because I remember the next day I was supposed to have, like, our suite tickets, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's, like, where you get all you can eat food, drinks. I'm like, I was hyped, bro. Like, I wasn't even gonna lie. Like, then I got all tossed away, and I was like, oh, can't do it until next season. But
I honestly, like, I work in college athletics. I remember just being in the office, and it was like the student workers outside were on there looking at there, and they were like, hey, did you see that they're canceling everything? And I was like, I haven't heard anything. have you heard anything from the higher ups or what's going on? It's like, I haven't heard anything. You know, you're the first people to tell me. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see. And then like right now, well, this episode is coming out this Sunday, but today, which is Tuesday, there's the that Twitter trend right now. Where were you when it all first started? I don't know if you saw it. Like, people are posting that picture. Yes. Maybe you got a picture of you at that restaurant that you guys eating at. But
man, I probably did, to be honest, man. It was some good fried chicken, I'm not gonna lie, but 100%. It's we were working 2 weeks, like a week or so, when the season got suspended. I remember having a full staff meeting the next day, and I think it was a Friday, and then we all came in, we talked about it, we got someone to talk from Abbott Health, just basically talking about what's going on with this virus, right? And then a week later, we were told that we had to work home from home. We weren't sure what was going to happen. So then everything was just like, okay, we're going to another 30 days. And now it just seems like it's going to go on forever. And like that story, that like limit was never really going to like end, it seems like. So to be honest, I don't know when we'll go back to the office, to be honest with you, but it is nice working from home. I will say that. But it has its pros and cons.
For you, how did you find that balance? Or was that something that you've already had, I guess?
Man, to be honest with you, dude, I don't think I ever even found the balance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I just realized it was just, for me, I always grew up very independent. So I knew how to manage my own time, right? So it's like, it was just very routine to me. And it's like, after a while, it was like, okay, I can do this, this, and this. And once I started to figure out that, like, you know, work's always going to come first. I get work done, and then I'm on to do whatever I had to do for the rest of the day, which is basically eat and, you know, play Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, man, I mean, I think it's different for everyone because specifically for me, I'm in a new city where I don't really know anyone yet except the people I work with. And it's different because, yeah, we're in a pandemic, but then, you know, you can't do much. So it's like, what can you do? Mm-hmm. And I remember when we were on Twitter and a lot of people were talking about, you know, if you're not going to learn something during this pandemic, then, you know, what are you doing? Blah, blah, this, this, and this. I'm like, I'm thinking 6 months later, I'm like, oh man, what did I learn? And for me, it was just like, just understanding like the mental grind, realizing, you know, my anxiety, depression. Because a lot of times, you know, in the beginning, it was like, oh, man, this is awesome. I get to work from home, right? But then you start to get sick and tired from time to time. Like for me, as much as I am an introvert, I always like to say that I'm also an extrovert because I like talking to people. I like being able to see you face to face. And I love food. So we're always going to get food if, like, you're in Orlando, right? Or wherever I'm at. And that's my thing. So it was hard to do that because I haven't really got to talk to anyone. I mean, yeah, texting and FaceTiming, it's the same, but it's like, it's not really the same as human interaction. And I listened to some other podcasts and I was just talking about this. I would say like the human side of you starts to dread on you, right? Because it's like, you got to make the effort to talk to people and stuff like that. And it's hard to do that when, I mean, not really hard, but I would say it's difficult for like sometimes to just to like, keep in touch with everyone while you're trying to do your own thing, even though you're in the comfort of your own home. I don't know, man. It's like confusing. Like I said, like I don't know if I even found that balance yet, and I don't think I ever will, but I'm okay with it. So,
see, that's the thing that I really admire about you, and the reason why I really wanted to talk to you is because you're open about these feelings. Like I assume that you had the balance and you have the humility to be like, I don't know even know if I found that actual balance. And I really want to talk about, there's a tweet that you put out and you've been open on Twitter about kind of the mental, you know, the depression and the anxiety that you've gone through and that you even contemplated suicide. So I just want to, you know, talk about that, reflect about that, you know, tell me about those feelings and kind of where you're at with it all.
I was just going through a tough time because, you know, I think the pandemic got to me where I'm just like home all the time. As much as like you and me talk about being an introvert, it's like, as much as I like to stay home, I like to get out, and like, I don't have people to go out with, man. Like me being lonely, my most of my life, and it's nothing against anyone at all. I just felt like personally, I never fit in anywhere to like anyone I talk to. You know what I'm saying? Like I always was so very goal driven. I always had to do the next thing to keep me busy and to keep grinding, right? But when the whole world stops and like everyone's at home, and, you know, you're living with a roommate or even by yourself, it's hard. And like, we were going through layoffs at the time because, you know, it was just like, we were, everyone was concerned was like no fans next year, because that's how we rely on revenue, right? Mm-hmm. The business side of it, the corporate side of it. And then you see all these different companies on social media, you see your colleagues, you see your friends, and like, they're like, yeah, I just got laid off, this, and this. And it's like, you feel bad. And you let that overthinking get to you. And that's what really causes like the anxiety and depression, because you're like, you're wondering if I'm next, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you put in the work constantly, like what, 40 hours a week and more, plus every week. And then all of a sudden, pandemic hits, you lose your job. You know what I'm saying? That's what I can only imagine. That's what I've always been scared about, like my fears, right? Mm-hmm. People always talk about overcoming fears, this and this, but man, no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. No one can take anything for granted. You know what I'm saying, man? So like, that's my kind of thing. And like, but yeah, I seriously thought about it, because I was like, man, I'm going to lose everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I told my mom, because she, as much as she was always working, right? Mm-hmm. And I only saw her for a very few, like, small amount of hours of each day. And, like, she doesn't know my personality. And so she never really understood, like, the depression side of me. Because for me, like I said, like, I like to consistently work. And that's always been taught from my mom and my two older sisters. And so I was just going through a rough time, man, where it's, like, work was going on at once and, like, you hear this and this on social media, and like it just is dwelling, and like it makes you overthink about a lot of things. So it was like, for me, I was like, man, like, what if I just ended it all, right? Mm-hmm. Because I will admittedly say it wasn't the first time I ever thought about it. Like, even pre-pandemic, man, like, I was seriously depressed. Some days I would come home or come to work like just not in the mood to talk to anyone. But it was never against anyone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like something that no one can ever understand internally, because, you know, they understood your personality enough where it's like, hey, you know, how are you? This, right? But yeah, man, it was going through a rough time. And like, for me mentally, it was a lot of work. And like, I don't know, as much as we were home in the comfort of our own home, it was just hard to like really work and just stay focused and consistent. When you let the perception of you get to you, where you always hold yourself accountable for high expectations, it's like you start to let that get to you kind of way. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you always have to perform well, you always have to do this, and this. And when you feel like you don't, that takes a lot on you mentally. So that was kind of like my creative like rut, and kind of my creative like how that all went downhill for me. But I would say, man, for me recently, I've been feeling better. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen brighter days, of course. I always try to tell myself there are brighter days ahead. Fortunately enough, you know, I met people who go through the same thing, and I'm starting to find out more and more that, like, people in the sports industry, people like you and me, man, we all go through these problems because, mm-hmm. you know, like, as an Asian American, we're not taught to talk about these things with our parents because they don't understand. They always been taught, you know, have better opportunity for your kids and like move in America, work and like do all these things. But then now it's like, do we have enough? Do we, you know, what are we going through mentally? But yeah, man, that's what I've been going through. So.
And I can relate to you, like, you brought up the Asian American and I'm Japanese Filipino, but in the sense of not talking about emotion, like, that's something I knew even now as a 23-year-old, like, I know that's somewhat kind of a downfall of myself, especially when it comes to the relationship with myself, the relationship with others, the relationship with people. Like, I don't know how to communicate necessarily how I feel, how, when these emotions come about. So like, sometimes it gets overwhelming, you know, it gets overwhelming in that sense. And like, I've always had this extra chip on my shoulder, especially working in the sports industry. Because I'm Asian American, because like a lot of times when I graduated, or even like, I think about the story about how throughout college, I didn't tell my family I was majoring in sport management. Like, my grandparents and my aunts would ask, and I'd be like, oh, I'm still doing health science, or I'm still doing business management, right? Because it sounds better than sport management. And then I finally graduated, they learned about it. And then, like, you know, this career field, in general, the sports industry, we're on the way to being more diverse. We're obviously not there where we want to be, where the world wants to see it. But honestly, I haven't talked to a lot more other Asian Americans other than you, Tony. I don't recall ever running into. There are out there. I'm sure there are out there. But I haven't been able to. This is the first time I've been able to talk to somebody who's Asian American. You know, yeah, so it's interesting for me.
Exactly, man. Like, I've been thinking about this too. I'm like, man, how many Asian Americans are in working sports? You know what I'm saying? Because our parents or our family, the first thing they ask is how much you making. Will you be able to provide for this for your family down the line? This. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just a 24-year-old just trying to figure it out myself, you know? Yes, we thank our parents. Like, it's not like we're discrediting our parents for, you know, coming to America and not appreciating enough for what they work for in life to give us everything we could ever dream of, right? It's more of like not seeing enough of it, you know, kind of in a way where it's like, you don't see a lot of Asians, and that's plain and simple. And like, it's hard because and you wonder, it's like sometimes people come up to you and ask you, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And you say, yeah, I work in sports. It's like, oh, I thought you were, I thought you were an engineer or doctor. And it is what it is. And this is like a stereotype we've been living with throughout our entire life, but kind of in a way where it's, unfortunately enough, it's like a good citizen stereotype that we always had, but we're always trying to break that stem and, you know, diverse ourselves to work in different fields, right? And I remember just my mom and my sisters asking me, it's like, yeah, you making enough? Can you be able to afford due to this, and this? You know, do you understand this, and this? And I'm like, no, I don't understand it, but I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'm passionate about what I do. And I always tell my family, it's like, I'm always thankful for what you gave me, but you know, now it's my turn to like show what I can do, right? And that was like relating back to the overthinking thing side of it, man. It's just like, because you want to show your family you're succeeding and like you're happy in life, you're reaching your full potential and like doing this, and like they don't know about like the personality side of it, like what you hide, right? And I know what you mean, man. Like, and I hope soon, very soon, we see more diversity from women and from people of color and more Asians too, because you know we have so much to offer to the world, and it's a matter of time before we see that. And I think it's what's dope about you and me, man. It's like, as Asian Americans, people see that we work in sports. Mm-hmm. That the kid that's starting in high school, starting to find out what she or he wants to do, are looking at us as like role models. You know what I'm saying? Like an inspiration. And I think that's dope, but right now we have bigger issues in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm not personally worried about myself. I'm worried about people of color and, you know, with the social injustice and the whole politics and how that began that entire movement. But yeah, man, definitely as an Asian American, it's difficult, but I know in the long run, it's going to be hopefully more diverse rather than something that's just checked off the box for white corporates. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all about leaving this industry and this world a better place than we were given it, right? And no matter, you know, leaving it better for everybody, like you were saying, African Americans, women, Asian Americans, everybody, every single person, we want the sports industry to be great for everybody. Because sports has always been all about inclusion. It's been a universal language, you know what I mean? It's everyone speaks sports in the world. Everyone uses sports as a way to escape the realities of the world. Now, we're seeing that sports is the platform to help people realize the realities that we're going through. So I definitely, you know, understand there we're leading, you know, us young sport professionals are leading the way for everybody else, you know, that comes after us, and helping show everybody right now and people that are older us then like, hey, it's time to make a difference. Now, you said something there as far as you mentioned, you've kind of always knew you wanted to do this thing. And what was interesting was when I was looking up information about you, it talked about how in an article about how you came in and you realized you didn't like the marketing aspects of stuff. So you switched the degree. But like in my head, it doesn't make sense because you're doing graphic design, right? You're creating content and that's kind of marketing, but you didn't like the marketing. What was it about the marketing aspect that you didn't like?
Well, I think when a few weeks ago, man, I think when we were trying to like market for the playoffs, I saw the exact reason why I didn't like it from the beginning. So that didn't change, man. But I think it's more of like, because I think if you're working in marketing, it seems as if you're, you have to, it's more like, I'm not going to speak about something I definitely don't know, because I'm just over here making the solutions to what marketing needs, right? But I just think it's more strategy and more, you know, requires more to be bold and make decisions like that. And that's like something I can't deal with, because back in high school, I thought that was marketing was what I was going to do. But I eventually saw that sport management was a route that I could take. And sophomore year, I realized graphic design was something I wanted to head into specifically. So sport management was, to be honest with you, a filler. So because like classes were just fresh and new. So I will say, you know, it wasn't hard. So I was able to get, you know, I guess a good GPA coming out of college, you know what I'm saying? So like, hey, I got my bachelor's degree. It is exactly what it is. But man, like, to be honest, like anyone can say who works in sports, whether that's marketing, sport management, journalism, like everyone's story is different. And what's great about that is because, like you mentioned, man, like it brings us all together in a way, and how we're able to, you know, work together and be able to relate to something we love about. It's like, that's cool about sports and the community, because like everyone comes from different backgrounds. Like someone could have come from engineering or done specifically, you know, computer science, but they somehow got into sports and now they're like running with it, you know? Yeah. It's awesome to hear, because like no one's, that's the thing that's awesome about sports, because no one's one story is identical with the other.
Mm-hmm. You can have a history degree. Like, I'm pretty sure I remember talking to somebody had like a political science history degree, and now they're finding self working sports, doing ticket sales. Like, it's just, you have people from all these different roads, you know? So, and you talked about how school can give you the basics and it's up to you to practice on the things. And you were majoring in sport management. I have to imagine it wasn't like they dived into the, you know, the nitpickings of graphic design, how you create content. So how did you, you know, really build on your graphic design, your creative skills, when your sport management classes were a filler, to say, or were giving you just the basic information you needed?
Yeah, so definitely sport management was more of like a broader range of major, right? It was like everything from stadium operations to ticket sales to a little bit everything under the sun or umbrella, I would say, for sports. Specifically for me, luckily I got involved my sophomore year with Mizzou Athletics, and I met my boss, she's amazing. Shout out to Ali Fisher. And she's given me an awesome opportunity to work with a brand that's still new. So we didn't really have a direction, so she allowed me to explore. And I was able to take my own routes with like my own personal graphics. And before, soon enough, man, things started falling left or right in a good way, right? And it's like I've been able to meet more people, get more opportunities. And, you know, it's been awesome when I look back on it, because it's taught me a lot about like how much Twitter and how much exposure can help with you. I'm not saying like don't ever be paid in the way for exposure, but what hope that like one day you putting yourself out and marketing yourself out is a way for you to be seen to eyes that you never thought you would have been seen to, right? And I always remember this quote that saying that you know, your work's always going to be shared in rooms that you know that you aren't a part of. And I thought about that. I'm like, wow, like a lot of people have reached out to me that never knew that could reach out to me. And I was also fortunate enough been able to be given so many great opportunities, you know, during my time at Mizzou as a sophomore, all the way leading to now, you know, with my first full-time job. I guess I would say this, I don't know if I'll ever be able to go to freelance, because you know, I've been working in these past 6 months at home. Shit, man, it's rough. It's like, I don't know if I can do that yet, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see down the line, but I'm very happy with how everything has went for me career-wise, because it shows that the hard work pays off.
So. How do you, because you mentioned you have to market yourself or put yourself out there. How does somebody do that? Because like what I think, you know, when it comes to like the content, the graphic design that these main accounts, like the college athletic departments or the sport teams, it's not like they're giving credit. It's not like they're adding you on Twitter saying, hey, this person made this or did this. So how does someone, a college student or a young professional, or just anybody in general, how do they market themselves and put themselves out there? What did you do?
Yeah. And I was talking to this with my mentor, Eli, and we were talking about how like, you know, with working in athletics and working for a professional brand, right, you're giving a style guide. And that's like your baby to carry with you to when you need to solve things, right? So a lot of personal projects, that's on you because you have full creative freedom to do what you want to do. And so that's how you grow from there, right? And like it's like being able to tag a few accounts, hoping that a few people see it. Maybe you go viral, you get a whole bunch of clout, right? And that's what it is. That's how social media is for millennials and Gen Z. Mm-hmm. But for me, I always thought it was cool to post my personal projects as much as people were against it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? They're like, oh man, you should never post your own personal work. You should never, you know, hype yourself up to do this, this, and this. But I'm like, man, at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't hurt the next person next to me. If anything, it's only going to bring more awareness to the brand that I'm working mm-hmm. on, right? That's always been my kind of thing. And, but yeah, man, it's just like putting your own work out there. Don't be afraid. Always be encouraged. Always come in confident putting your work in on posting that on social media because you never know who might see it. Like I said, man, the quote from my learner is like, you never know if your name's when your name's going to be mentioned in different rooms. And next thing you know, you're getting an email from your dream company that you want to work for and do freelance projects for. And that happens for you. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So that's what I would say is kind of my sense of like marketing yourself. So,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense to do that. Like if you're putting, you know, you're making these amazing graphics or this art, why not share it with the rest of the world? And the fact that you can get your dream job by doing something that you're enjoying doing, just putting it out there. I think that is very, like, especially during COVID, I think you've seen a lot of people trying to put out their work out there. And it was good to see. It caused, like you were saying, inspiration for others. It was inspiring for me because I was like, oh, how do I do that? Let me learn how I make that. You know, if I didn't see that, I would have never thought about like, okay, let me go learn that. So it is definitely important to put your work out there. Now let's bring it back to present day. How did you end up with the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, man. And the way I ended up with the Orlando Magic, fortunately enough, I found a job through LinkedIn. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I was this young kid thinking that like I had all these followers hoping that I was able to get a job. I'm like, no problem, man, no problem, this, this, and this. But then during the spring of 2019, you know, after I got told no a bunch of times, you know, and it is what it is. And like, I think for me personally, I think everything happens for a reason. And so when I found the job on LinkedIn, I found out about it, got an interview, did my projects for my tests and whatnot. And like, fortunately enough, I was in Orlando for my spring break because, you know, I love Disney. I love Universal. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, you know, win-win situation for me, you know? So I was like, all right, I'll come in for my interview, you know, for my last final one. It went really well. And ever since then, man, and you know, it's been a magical time, you know? So it's been great so far. But definitely, I would say for my advice for anyone, because I always get these DMs and questions about like, oh, man, I want to do what you want to do one day. Mm-hmm. This, this, and this. And I would say the most beneficial tip that I have is to understand more than what you see on social. You see, like, you're going to see you're going to see anyone's social graphics because that's what they put out. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes because it's more about, like, team. It's more about management. It's more about working with people who are higher up and then being able to collaborate with people who have different mindsets, right? It's all that spectrum that you have to, you know, really work on to before you get to your first year or, you know, working for a professional sports team. And I think sometimes that can be difficult because I know when it comes to university, it's like these coaches are asking you to, you know, specifically recruiting designers, right? It's like they're specifically asking you to do wild things that you never thought you could make, like putting a player onto like Spider-Man or Black Panther, you know, RIP Chadwick. But yeah, man, it's like stuff like that. And it's hard to like market yourself like in, or I say sell yourself in a way where you can get that next job. But I promise you, like a portfolio will always speak for itself. But when you get into depth more about the concepts and you talk more about like the details and the time that you took, the what went on behind the scenes about who you work with, this, this, and that, it shows a lot to whoever you want to work with, you know, as a beneficial way. And like, it's very promising. And I remember when I was in my interview, A lot of my work, surprisingly, it was mostly my personal projects, man. It was like stuff that I did for the NBA on my free time. And like, I was so surprised at first because I was like, what? I'm like, I work from the zoo. I was able to have, you know, a whole bunch of things I did with women's basketball, football, and basketball, this. But they were more intrigued by the NBA stuff that I did, which I don't discredit at all. And like, but it just shows that you have to have a Steph Curry range when you're doing like all these like different kind of projects, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to have enough a diverse portfolio where you're having like different kind of works in your art. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, different sports maybe, and like, you know, working within different leagues and all those kind of things. But yeah, man, that's how I got my job with the Magic, and that's my advice for any young designers that want to be in the same position as I am.
I just want to give another shout out to Tony for hopping on the podcast. It's always great, man, to get all these different type of people from across the sports industry at all experience levels and have them come to this podcast and talk about their experiences. I hope everybody who's listening has found value of this, and please share it with others. And if you do not know, Sports as a Job is the home of the aspiring and current sports industry professional. Along with this podcast, we have two other podcasts called The Rookie Contract, The Outnumber Podcast with Kelly and Hollis. And both of those focus on interviewing people within the sports industry, but also helping you navigate your career and get the most success out of your career within the sports industry. So please go to sportsasajob.com. You'll find their podcast. You'll find all the articles out there. And please, if you can, if you're listening to this on the Apple Podcast, leave us a rating and review. And please shout us out on all your social media platforms. And like I always say, we are all on our own individual journeys, but you are not alone.